Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. My name is Zenya and I'm joined with Zach.
Hey guys.
Zach's on the podcast. He's giving Christmas Cuts Part 2.
Oh my gosh, what a throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you probably know because you clicked on this video, this is about Joseph. My middle name's Joseph. I'm Zachary Joseph Watson. There you go.
ZJW. Mm-hmm. That's a very strong name.
Really?
Yeah.
No one's ever told me that.
ZJ Dub.
What's your middle name?
Lena Ruth. Ruth's my middle name. And we did a Bible study on Ruth, so if you haven't seen it,
Oh, you should
go watch that.
I'm going to go watch that.
Yeah. And I guess we can talk about Joseph. You know my granddad's name was Joseph?
Seriously? Wow.
So that's how we're connected somehow. But anyways... Guys, we are in the second episode of our Joseph series, and I really like this story. I think Joseph is pretty cool. I mean, what he's gone through isn't cool for him, you know, sometimes. But this is such a great story. I feel like a lot of people, if you've grown up in church or like if you've read the Bible for like a little bit, you've probably heard of it. But we're just excited to get into it and see what God is saying. So let's hop in. But I wanted to ask you, Zach, like, do you know about Joseph's story? Like, before we were planning this, had you heard about it before? Like, what are your thoughts on Joseph?
Oh, yeah. I love this story. Because I grew up watching the theater performance of it.
What?
You know Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I even forgot about that.
You just lit up. Did you not think about that before we came into this?
That unlocked a memory. I actually forgot that he had the cool coat. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so I would watch the movie.
When they thought he died, didn't they take the coat and give it to his dad, the brothers? Yeah. Anyways, I'm not trying to spoil the story. But
yeah, they splattered blood on it so that he would think that he died, yeah. Yeah, so I do love this story because I grew up watching it at my grandparents. And yeah, good tunes in there. Go listen to the album if you haven't.
Well, I haven't, I will.
But yeah, do you like this story as much as I do?
Joseph's story is so iconic. I think it's iconic for like so many different reasons. But one thing that I always thought about with Joseph is that he was so young when he got the dream and it took him years to see the dream fulfilled. And I always think about like, oh, as a Christian or even as a young person, like God might give you stuff like, oh, this is maybe the career you might have or this is the place that I might want to take you. And sometimes we don't see that come through like the day after we've had the dream. Sometimes it takes years for God to, you know, take us on a journey, refine us, mold us, develop our character. And I think from Joseph's story, we can learn how to endure even in the tough times, which I guess we're going to talk about now. So for a little bit of a recap, if you weren't listening to the last episode, if you haven't locked in, make sure you go back and listen to that. But essentially, Joseph is in prison. Not for any fault of his own, might I add. Like, he didn't actually deserve to be in prison. Basically, Potiphar's wife snitched on him, but she snitched a false story because she was like, Joseph tried to sleep with me, but actually he didn't. He actually ran away. He was like, I'm not trying to get myself involved in this situation. And then she spun the whole story and told her husband, no, he tried to sleep with me. This guy is terrible. And then obviously Potiphar was like, what? He did that? I thought Joseph was the best servant in this household. Like, what are we talking about? Fall from grace. And then Joseph gets locked up in prison. So that's how he ends up in prison. No fault of his own. And this is where we're going to start. So I think we'll just read a couple verses just to kind of offset the story a little bit. So we'll read verses 5-8 just to give you a bit of context as to where is Joseph and who is he with, because he's with some people that are important characters in this story. So verse 5 says in the NLT, it says, while they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they had both looked upset. Why do you look so worried today? He asked them. And they replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting dreams is God's business, Joseph replied. Go ahead and tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his first dream. In my dream, he said, I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. And then he said, I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand. So I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed it, and the juice went into the cup. Then I placed the cup on Pharaoh's hand, and then he has another dream. The cupbearer has a dream about like bread or something. Girl.
You just kept reading there. You said you were going to read 5 to 8. You just kept going. I was like, yeah, get it. Read your Bible.
As we all should be doing. Basically. And then there was like another dream that the cupbearer had, and it was a lot more sad than this. But I think what's interesting about Joseph's response is, first of all, he said, why do you look sad? Everyone's in prison right now. I think that's a very justifiable reason to look sad. So I feel like that question was kind of giving, read the room. Like, why do you think they're sad?
Do you think so?
But why is he not sad?
Do you want to hear what I think, why he asked that?
Okay, give it to me.
Okay, I think that this is showing how well Joseph has chosen to get to know the people that he's overwatching. Because you're right, you would be already like downcast if you were in prison. But he knows them so well that he sees them one morning and he looks at them and he notices that they look particularly downcast.
Wow.
But like, for example, if we didn't know each other and you were sad, I might not be able to tell if I didn't know what you looking sad looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Joseph notices right away.
Right.
Which, I mean, okay, it speaks a little into this kind of topic of, because Joseph is also in prison. How do you act when you're feeling like you're down in the dumps? Because that's where we find Joseph at the start of the story. He's like,
in the dumps.
He's in the dumps, bro.
He's dumping.
Wait a minute.
That's crazy. It's actually crazy. Hey, yo, guys, I don't know why I said that, but that's crazy. That's wild. That's insane.
So back to the question. What do you do when you're down in the dumps?
Cry.
Yeah.
That's so real.
Yeah.
Get frustrated.
Mm.
Get confused. Ask God, why is this happening to me? Feel like a lot of us ask God that question, why is this happening to me? Feel like obviously we all kind of main characters in our own story. You know, this is my life, I'm living it. This is your life, you're living it. Therefore, everything is happening to you. Mm-hmm. You're experiencing everything firsthand. And so when things don't go to plan or when things aren't looking right for you, God, why is this happening to me? Very self-questioned, because this is you. But also I think sometimes we don't often look at things from God's perspective. We often look at things from our own perspective.
Mm.
So when we're going through hardship, we see it as a first person thing. We forget to take a bird's eye view and ask God, okay, God, what are you doing in the midst of this? So it's not, God, why is this happening to me? It's, God, show me what you're doing whilst this is happening.
Mm.
You know, show me where you are in the midst of everything that's going on. I think back, like so often when we talk about hardship, I think back to the book of Job. In the Old Testament, which we spoke about when we were looking at the James Bible study that we did. So if you haven't seen that, check that out as well. And I'm not saying that just to be a plug, but honestly, check it out because it was really good. And we were talking about trials and we were talking about being tested and how in the book of James, it says that God will never test you.
Mm.
No, God. Yeah. God will never tempt you, because temptation leads to sin. And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to fall into sin. So God doesn't tempt us to make a bad decision. No, but he'll try us. And I think when I think back to Job was tried. Like, he was tried because God wanted to show that his faith was genuine. Like, imagine the reason why he was tried was because he was genuine. He would have thought, oh, maybe I did something wrong, maybe I'm the problem. But actually sometimes things happen because there's faith there, you know, and it's to bring out that good stuff. And I think with Joseph, he had an opportunity to faith it. Like, he could have been scared. And he could have just sat there and been like, God, why is this happening to me? Like we often do when we go through hard times. But actually he was kind and he was compassionate. Ooh, and he sat with people and he listened to them, which a lot of us probably wouldn't do, you know, when we're going through hard times. But again, opportunity for faith to shine.
The Dude, when I'm down in the dumps, I'm just like a Grinch to everyone around me.
Unfair.
On a real. Yeah. I need to get better at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey.
Grumpy out in these streets.
grumpy out in this prison. Should we keep rolling?
Let's keep going.
Should we keep going? We can go through the next, I guess, few verses.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, the chief cupbearer, who's like the guy that takes care of like Pharaoh's drinks, like his wine and stuff. And then you have the chief baker who's takes charge of like what Pharaoh eats, his food. Mm-hmm. Someone that looks after his drinks, someone that looks after his food. So we read about the dream that the cupbearer had. And then the dream that the baker has is actually very peak. So we're just going to read through it a little bit. Guys, brace yourself. This is actually kind of sad. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his first dream. In my dream, actually, I already read that. Lol.
Do you want me to read the next section?
Yeah, could you actually?
You. Yeah, yeah, I got you.
Oh, thanks, Zach.
Okay, so follow along in verse 16. Sorry, my Bible's super tiny.
Great.
Got to hold it up here. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was fair.
Brother, you need glasses.
Stop making me laugh. I'm trying to read the word over here.
Oh. The word of God is serious, guys. You need to be serious.
No laughing while reading the word.
Try not to laugh challenge over here. We're already failing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Verse 16. Mm-hmm. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. What? Hot take much, Joseph?
R.I.P.
For real? You think he would have just, like, maybe left that bit out?
Yeah, just, you know, glazed over that part. Yeah, oh, yeah, there was another bit, but we don't need to talk about that. Yeah. Oh, we don't need to talk about that. Oh.
Why does he need to say that?
Because he's honest. I think Joseph, I mean, think about it this way, right? Imagine if God gave you a dream, or like allowed you to interpret a dream, or gave you like a word for someone, right? And this was like this was not you know, happy clappy word. This is like a intense, like this is going to shake some things. But he's given that to you as a messenger to tell your friend. Would you tell your friend? It's a tough question, because you want to be, you know, honest, and you want to be, you want to have integrity and you want to obey God. But at the same time, these are real people with real feelings. And that's the hard part, I think, of faith. We're dealing with real people. You know, this is real lives. But at the same time, like, God wants you to tell that person. That's why he told you. And so we owe it to the person, and we owe it to God to be honest and to say the truth. And I think in that moment, Joseph was acting out of 100% integrity, because at least after saying that, there's no way someone could say, oh, you left that part out, or I didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
They definitely did know, because he said it. I don't know. I think there's just something to be said about being honest, and it's about being obedient to God.
It would, yeah. I think it's crazy. Like, you have to have so much certainty in the voice of God to give someone that type of a message.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're wrong, if Joseph is wrong, he's toast. Like,
oh, 100%.
He's getting killed.
He's cooked. Yeah.
Like, literally, he probably would have gone killed.
What's it? The cupbearer or the baker, they could have gone to Pharaoh and been like, oh, yeah, by the way, it was Joseph that said this.
Yeah.
And then Pharaoh could have been killed. So, I mean, not Pharaoh. Joseph could have been killed by Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a crazy risk. I don't know. I don't know if there's really a point to that, but like, What would you do if you got a word like this from God, but you weren't 100% sure that it was God telling you?
That's a really good question. I would take it back to God and I would ask him. I'd be like, God, is this you? I mean, didn't Gideon do that? Gideon was like, oh, like God was like, oh, you're going to lead an army. By the way, you need to whittle your army down. And he was like, hey, God, if this is really you, then I'm going to see this happen at this time. And then if this is you, then this next thing will happen. And then if you just want to tell me one more time to confirm the sign, this next thing will happen and then I'll follow you. And I don't think God was mad at Gideon for that, because of course Gideon wanted to know if it was God. And I don't think God would scold you for wanting to ask God, is this you? I think God actually delights in that, because you're seeking after him. But I also think there comes a time where you have to choose to say it or to not say it. And I mean, Jesse said this on a couple of podcasts, but I really like it. And he said that God is way bigger than your mistakes. And if you make a mistake, God will reroute you and he'll redirect you. And at the end of the day, if it's not from God, then it's not going to happen. And like, your words are not bigger than God's actions or God's thoughts, you know? So I think even if you're thinking something, but you're not sure if it's from God, sometimes just step out and see what happens. Like, I think we overthink it a lot.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's good advice. I actually don't know if I really know what I'm saying right now.
Well, Joseph definitely knew what he was saying, because it says on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast, blah, 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 blah. He lifts up the chief cupbearer.
Not the birthday.
It was the downfall. The birthday was the downfall of the baker.
Right.
He restored the chief cupbearer and placed the cup of Pharaoh in his hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted.
That's tough.
But you remember how Joseph says, don't forget me?
Yeah, like when you tell Pharaoh the dream, don't forget me.
He says like, yo, when you go back to Pharaoh, don't forget me. Like, I need a promotion from this prison job. And the chapter ends, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Tough.
Not him getting left out. But do you know what though? Sometimes, like, it's really hard being a Christian in the terms of you're doing things for God, right? So like everything that you do in life is all unto God. Even though we might interact with people, we might serve people, and it might be like, I'm doing this to you, like, oh, I'm serving Zach, but actually I'm serving God, and by serving God I'm going to obey him by serving you. But sometimes I feel like it's so easy to be like, where's the recognition, where's the flowers, like, oh, I'm doing all of this work and I'm serving and I'm trying to be a good Christian, but no one notices me, no one claps for me, no one recognizes me. And I think sometimes we have to like check our priorities and our perspective and check our why. Like, why are you doing this? Like, for Joseph, why did you interpret the dream? Was it because you were honoring God, or was it because you thought this could be a way out for you and you could get recognition? Like, what's your motivation behind what you do? And I think, like, I don't know, I just think about this a lot. Like, we serve God first, and by serving God we will naturally serve people, but my motive for serving you isn't so you can tell me thank you or for you to affirm me. Actually, I get my affirmation from God, I get my okay from God, so actually this, my affirmation from God is an overflow, and out of that place of overflow I'm going to serve you. But like, whether you tell me thanks for it or whether you don't, that shouldn't change why I serve, or that shouldn't influence me to any more or less. You know, God is the one and we obey him. So I don't know, I think I love Joseph, but at certain times in the story I'm like, bro, no. I feel like there was something there that he was missing in that moment, and maybe that's why he got forgotten.
Wait, so you think he was missing the heart of it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because he said, like, only God can interpret dreams. What did he say? He said, yeah, interpreting dreams is God's business. So you knew this is from God, but yet, like, oh yeah, don't forget me, don't make sure I get a thank you. Maybe he wasn't saying it in that way, but that's how I'm reading it.
He could have been
like, hey, don't forget, give your boy a shout out. But it's like, actually, no, he should have been like, and don't forget God, because actually it's God that interprets the dreams, it wasn't Joseph. So yeah, I find it interesting that he said to the cupbearer, oh, make sure that when Pharaoh finds out, he knows that I told you. But actually, isn't interpreting dreams God's business? So it should have been about God.
Yeah, he says, like, shout out my name, not God's name.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
which he probably wasn't saying it in that way, but that's how I'm reading it.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think about the way that this birthday party happened and the dream like becoming a reality? Like, what do you have any thoughts?
Well, actually, Izzy Madivan, one of the hosts here at The Way, I was hanging out with her a while back, and she was telling me a cool connection between this specific chapter and Jesus.
Nice.
So she was saying that it's really cool because basically, like, just to summarize the symbolism of the story, the chief baker who makes the bread and the chief cupbearer who holds the wine for the king, in 3 days, one gets hung on a tree and the other gets exalted to the right hand of the king.
Mm-hmm.
If we think about Jesus, in three days, he went from being hung on a tree to exalted to the right hand of the Father, who is King of Kings.
Wow.
Which I thought was kind of a cool symbolism. And then I kind of like did a little research on it after I talked to Izzy. And you can draw a similarity between us and Joseph because we then like ask Jesus to put in a good word for us with the Father, who is the King. And we wait patiently whilst he atones for us on the cross, and we wait until the day that we will be able to join him, which I think is like, it's kind of a cool symbolism.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Shout out Izzy. But also, Izzy, like, God is so intentional with how the Bible is laid out. Mm. And we can like so easily skip over the Old Testament and be like, the Old Testament's irrelevant. Happened so long ago. Not that relevant. I just need the New Testament. I just need Jesus. But Jesus is so clearly in the Old Testament as well.
Mm.
And like both of these parts of the Bible, they connect together. They tell one story, one narrative. So that's really, really cool. If you guys can see any connections to Jesus in Joseph's story, definitely drop a comment because we'd love to see what you guys are putting down. We're trying to pick up what you guys are putting down. Should we move on to the next part of the story?
Yeah, chapter 41.
So let's hop into the next part of the, I guess, chapter, or the next chapter, chapter 41. So we are back with Pharaoh. New character unlocked, not really, but we get to hear more about him, which is really cool. And it's been 2 years since that birthday party incident that we chatted about. 2 years of Joseph still being like, why am I here in this prison? I'm still here. Hey, God, I'm still here. You've forgotten about me. And Pharaoh has two dreams, which are really, really weird. He has one dream. It's weird to me because I'm like, why are you dreaming about cows? That's kind of weird. But he had a dream of two groups of cows. Like, one group of cows were like really, really healthy, looked like they were eating, like living their best life. Then there was another like group of cows that were like really skinny, really thin, giving malnourished. Like, and then he wakes up from that and he's like, what does that mean? Then he has another dream and there's like two groups of grain. There's like this like ear of grain or whatever the Bible says, which is a bit confusing. But there was one group of the grain that looks like really healthy, really good. And then there was another group that like swallowed the first group. And it's like, what the heck is going on in this? But like, we can read this and most of us in the West don't really live in like agricultural societies. Right. The only agriculture I know is like the fresh food part of Sainsbury's or something. So I don't know what an ear of grain is. Like, I don't know what that is.
Okay. I'm pretty sure an ear of a crop or like a plant is the part that will produce the fruit or whatever edible product comes from the plant. But like, yeah. So like an ear of corn is the whole top of the corn stalk, where the corn is inside it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it's the top, I imagine, of the grain. And there's some really healthy grain and some really unhealthy grain somehow just swallows each other. It is a dream, like it's gonna be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, what does this dream mean? But there's good old Joseph ready to
The cupbearer finally remembers him.
Yes.
He's like, wait, I know a guy who interprets dreams from 2 years ago. And then he calls up Joseph from the ranks. Joseph gets cleaned up and he comes up to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, can you interpret my dream? And I think he's learned his lesson here, because you, I don't know where exactly it is, but he says, I cannot, but God can. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So he's like, it seems it's like good. He's taken another step in terms of giving God all of the credit, which is maybe a theme that we can draw out from this whole story of Joseph's just character development as he rises to power. We see a lot nowadays, I think, in church and in the world, of people who are given points of leadership, but don't necessarily have the matching character. And where you have power but not the character, we often see things fall apart. And it almost feels like God's preparing Joseph in building his character so that when he reaches power at the end of this chapter, he will be able to sustainably hold on to that.
That's so true. And I also think back to that passage in the Bible that says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, or some translation says gives favor to the humble. And I think, like, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few weeks, and humility makes you realize that this is not something that's in your power, it's in God's power. Whereas pride makes you feel like, oh, this is all me, I got this, I did this, I put myself here. And I think with Joseph, like, again, what happened at Pharaoh's birthday party with the dream and how that came about, he's had 2 years of just sitting in the shadows being like, but God, I obeyed you. Like, God, I gave the dream. Now, where how do we get out of this and get me to the palace in that part? But I also think, like, in this time, he may have been working on his character, and God has been growing him in a place of humility, which is why when he came to Pharaoh, the first thing he says is like, oh, no, this isn't me. This is actually God. And I think that's so cool. I think in the times where we're unseen, in the 2 years where no one's seeing us, or we feel like, God, I'm still waiting, that's actually an opportunity for God to work on your character and to grow in humility, so that when you end up getting the dream, getting the thing that you feel like God was telling you, or you feel like you were promised, you're actually able to sustain it and hold it, like you were saying, that your character's strong enough for you to handle where God wants to take you. Shout out God.
Shout out God.
But anyways, Joseph interprets his dream. It's all good. And
he makes a crazy prediction.
Mate.
Next. Like, crazy. Do you know what he predicts?
Was this the famine?
This is the famine.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joseph basically says to Pharaoh, these two dreams, they mean the same thing. And they are, like, they're kind of similar dreams with different symbols. So it kind of makes sense. But he tells Pharaoh there's going to be 7 good years and then 7 really bad years. And in the good years, there's going to be tons of produce and food, and animals are going to thrive. And then in the 7 bad years, there's going to be famine and everything's going to die.
Ooh.
The land is not going to be fruitful.
Yikes.
And he says, what you should do based on this dream, and this is now just Joseph basically providing his own wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I understand. And he says, you should save 1/5 of all of the produce and meat and crops that you get over the next 7 years, so that you can provide for all of your people in the following 7 years of famine.
Smart.
Pretty smart, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, listen, you're going to want someone who can do this, who can oversee this massive project, to save the 1/5 of grain and food. And he says, so you're going to want to appoint someone who can do all of this in your land and then oversee the selling of it in the following 7 years. And Pharaoh goes, yeah, that makes sense to me. Why don't you do it? Plot twist.
Uh-oh. He had to step up.
Joseph's time has arrived.
But I bet he didn't think this was the circumstance at which my time's gonna, like, I thought I'd get the promotion, you know, we're all good, we're all cooking, life's thriving. No, I'm about to help these people in a famine. Like, not the circumstance that he thought. But then I also think, if God had told him this is the circumstance, would he have wanted to go through all of this?
Mm.
Probably not.
Nah, no way.
And that's why I'm like, oh, Lord, like, what you tell us is enough for what we need. Because if you told us the whole picture, I'm running, I'm booking it, I'm not going through that. If I had to go through prison, had to go through being snaked by my brothers, being thrown into a pit, I'm not doing that. But if he didn't go through all of that, he would have never gotten to the palace. So the journey is always worth it. And actually sometimes, like, we can be begging God to tell me more, God, when are you going to do it? And what day is it going to happen on? And like, who am I going to meet? But actually there's a beauty in just going along the journey and being refined and being shaped along the way. Like, he grew in humility in this whole process. Like, he was able to honor God and like give God the glory for the interpretation of the dreams and all of that stuff. Like, there was a process that God was taking him on a character process. And if he would have just wanted to fast forward that to get to the end, to get to the palace, he would have never like grown in all that character. And by the time he got there, he was the perfect person. Oh, you need a wise person to help collect the grain and all that stuff. Well, that's you, because you've been grown, you've been refined, you've been shaped, you know? And I think this just speaks to God's timing. God's timing is perfect. And when God gives us a dream, we need to trust that he's going to take us on the journey to get there and that it will happen in his timing and not ours. That's why I think.
Dang. You got to wait it out.
But it's really tough. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where God told you something and then he took you on a journey and you look back and you're like, bro, this journey is not what I thought it was going to be. Like, I never thought that. I've definitely been on a journey like that before.
Well, what journey? What was the journey?
Thanks for asking.
It felt like you wanted me to ask.
It was a big setup. It was a big setup.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my day.
I'm actually excited for this story. I didn't realize you were going to tell a story.
No, I just thought.
Okay, what was the circumstances that you went through that you wouldn't have gone through?
So when I was at uni, I always knew that I was going to go to university. Like, I felt like that was just very clear to me. Like, that was something that I wanted. But I knew I was always going to graduate, but I didn't know how I would get to that point. And actually, when I was in sixth form, that was when I decided to take my faith a lot more seriously. That's when I went to church for the first time in years and like really fell in love with God and encountered God. And I was like, I want to put my faith into practice. So whilst I was applying to university, that was when my faith was really tested. And I remember in my second year of school, of sixth form, applying to my unis, and I was like, I applied to Oxford, and that was like the uni that I thought I was going to go to. But I also applied to LSE, and LSE was the first uni I'd ever been to. And I was like, I really would love to go here. But I also recognize that this one is very hard to get into. So I'm just going to set that to the side and then work on like the other unis that I know that if I put in a lot more effort, like I can really make it work. So like, I really grinded with my Oxford application, did the like entrance exams, went to every single like Oxbridge advisory school you could go to. Like, I made friends with people that went to Oxford so that they could help me with my personal statement. Like, I went to the uni, like I'd been there, like I did all of the things. And I genuinely thought, oh yeah, like when I see myself graduating, it will probably be from here. And I remember like making it through my interview, feeling so chuffed, being like, I'm almost there. Like, I'm almost at the dream. Like, this is the dream that God gave me.
Oh no.
And then I got rejected. And I was like, oh wow.
Oh,
wow. This is not the dream. Wow. This is kind of crazy. God, not you lying, but God's not a God that would lie. So that definitely was a God. That was definitely me trying to substitute what I thought would make more sense along the journey and how I thought God would take me there. That was definitely all me. Like, I knew I was going to go to uni, but at that point I thought, oh, well, it will probably be this one because I've worked towards it and I've put in the effort towards it and I've done the steps towards it. God, this is going to be my journey. And when that wasn't the outcome, I think that was the first time of me being a Christian that I was really faced with the reality of my faith. And I felt like I had to choose really and truly, am I going to trust God or am I going to just try and figure this out my own way and walk away from his plans? That was like such a real crossroad for me. And I remember one of my friends, we went into the prayer room in school and we prayed together and we literally prayed. We were like, God, we know that this is your journey. You're just walking us through it. You have the plans. You have the purpose. You have everything. And we just want to follow you. So God, wherever you take us, doesn't matter what university it is. Wow. It doesn't have to be Oxford, but whatever uni it is, God, we will trust you and we will walk into that space. And then like literally 2 days later, I got accepted into LSE and I got a reduced offer. And that was the uni I really wanted to go to.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, God, like, your plans are true, like your purpose is true. And I graduated from LSE like in 2023,
wow,
which is awesome. But in that moment, I didn't know that's where, that was the journey that God right. was going to take me on. Like I felt like I went in my own right. pit, like Joseph. I thought I went like through my own stuff. Like I was in my own prison. And that's why I really relate to Joseph's story about how he gets promoted, because he didn't think this was how it was going to happen.
Right.
And I didn't think that that's how it was going to happen. But God in his timing knew that that was the journey I needed, because it refined me. It strengthened my faith. It taught me how to trust on God and to lean on God and to depend on him. And so when I got to uni, I'd already flexed that muscle. So I knew how to trust God when I was at uni. That's great. Like God knew what he was doing. Like I definitely didn't know that. And so like, I just kind of say all that to say, like, if you're in a season or a situation where you're like, God gave me a dream, but it's not really working out the way that I thought, you will look back and be like, God, I never thought you would have taken me through this, but I thank you that you did, because I've grown so much and I've seen so much and I've learned. And I just think, yeah, if God done it through Joseph, he'll do it through all of us, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not.
Often not.
Yeah.
But he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be good. Yeah, yeah, that's so facts, man.
So guys, we are in the last part of the study where we're going to look at basically what happens in Egypt when Joseph is ruling and doing his thing and being that wise guy. So yeah, we've got a couple verses that we want to read through, verses 37 to 46. Should I read it or do you want to read it, Zach?
You got it.
Wow, guys, I'm scared. I feel like I can't read recently. What? So let's see how I do. But verse 37 says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in a chariot reserved for his second in command. This is a big deal. This is huge. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, which I cannot pronounce. So we're just going to skip that. That's so real.
Yeah, try it.
That's so real. Zaphnath.
Looking at me like I know.
Flip.
Noise.
It took me a second, but I got there. Okay. He also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. I think this is so crazy. He was 30 when this happened. He had the dream when he was like 17. Bro, that's a long time. Wow. That's crazy. But he was also faithful and he didn't give up.
Bro, I was reading. I won't say this because we're past the point.
Wait, you read.
SMH, man.
SMH.
Come on. Get real. You think I just sit and rot my brain all day?
Yes.
Dude, you got to be doing some brain growth.
Wow.
Anyways, I was reading this passage and it reminded me of something my dad used to tell me, which was facial feedback theory, where they did this study where if you smile, even if you're not feeling happy, you just physically smile, you become happier because it releases dopamine and serotonin and other chemicals in your brain. And I realized, right, that Joseph knows this, because what they later found in the study is that it creates a positive feedback loop, okay? I'm nerding out right now. I've been wanting to tell someone this. A positive feedback loop is where, for example, you smile and you become happier which then makes you smile more, which then makes you happier, which makes you smile more. So it's this thing of like, as you are happy, you become happier. Mm-hmm. And then as you're sad, you become sadder. And Joseph, even though he's not in a position of where you would be happy, he chooses to love, which he then, like we see from him, that he somehow knows that when you act out of love, it breeds more love.
You kind of took that.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
So it's the whole thing of like, if you, it's weird because it can seem like inauthenticity, but if you act a certain way, your emotions will follow your actions. And Joseph acts as though everything's Jay Chill while he's in prison. And perhaps that's how he survives.
That's so cool.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Right.
I was like, facial feedback theory. I just got to start smiling more.
That cooked. That kind of cooked me. That kind of cooked me.
Start smiling more. Here's what I want to say. Mm-hmm. You can't trust someone unless you know them. Joseph, we've talked about how he trusted for 13 whole years. He just waited through these crazy, crazy circumstances. We see all over the Bible, like the story of Noah's Ark pops into my head, of he trusts God in building the Ark, that what God tells him is actually going to happen. And like the story's all over, countless. Mm-hmm. My point is that it seems crazy to trust in God if you don't know God's trustworthiness. And so how do we get to trust God better? I think we need to get to know God better. We need to spend time with God. And there's always going to be people who are going to be around us, potentially mocking us, telling us that our circumstances aren't going to work out. But I would argue that those people don't know the God that we know.
Yeah.
Therefore, they can't trust the God that we can trust mm-hmm. through everything. And so Joseph, he clearly knows God. He's gotten to know God even while he's in prison. And therefore, he can trust God whilst in the prison.
Wow. And also, Pharaoh knew Joseph, which is why he took off the signet ring and gave it to him, gave him clothes, gave him everything. Why? Because Joseph had proven that he was trustworthy. The dreams that he interpreted, they all happened, not just for the cupbearer and all that, but also for Pharaoh. Therefore, Pharaoh knew, okay, I can trust this guy. He is the one. When Joseph was like, oh, you got to find a wise person to help you. That's why Pharaoh was like, yeah, that's you. You are that person because your character has been proven. Therefore, I can trust you, which is a really cool detail. Mm. Do you know what else is a cool detail?
What else?
Pharaoh was like, can we find anyone like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? You know, this is the first time we see in the Old Testament someone being described as being filled with the Spirit of God. You know how crazy that is?
Are you sure that they don't, like, genuinely, I find that crazy that he doesn't say for, like, even Noah, Adam, Abraham, Isaac.
Yeah, even Jacob, Joseph's dad. Joseph's dad.
Jacob just got one-upped.
Yeah, no facts. But I think that's interesting because that's what somebody else described Joseph as. Like Pharaoh made this observation. This isn't that God's not saying this. Pharaoh's saying this. And that's also like a really interesting point that people can see that you're a spirit-filled person. And what I mean by being spirit-filled is somebody that walks with God, somebody that is a follower of God. People can see that. Therefore, even when you're just like acting in your own life or, you know, God gives you a word for somebody and you just tell them, you might think, oh, that's nothing. That's just me like being obedient to God. But people see that. People take that in. And like that was the character that Joseph became known by. He became known as to Pharaoh as the guy filled with the Spirit of God. And that really inspires me because he went through so much. And yet it wasn't enough to take his faith away. He was still known as being spirit-filled. And so for us, when we go through our own challenges and when we're put in our own pits or put in our own prisons or whatever that might look like for us, no, actually, we want to still be people that are known as being filled with the Spirit of God. Like, I don't care how hard life shakes me, I still want people to look at me and be like, wow, she follows Jesus. Like, wow, she's filled with the Spirit of God. So that's why I also like Joseph, because he's so inspirational in terms of how to walk through challenges, but also how to not lose your faith in the midst of waiting for something, waiting for a dream to come true, or waiting for God to fulfill a promise. He's really cool.
So cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I just add one thing on top of that?
Add it.
I love how in this story, the Spirit of God being on Joseph doesn't just benefit him. It then benefits all the people who are living in the famine.
Wow.
So his walking with the Lord doesn't just end up benefiting him. It ends up benefiting all the people. And I think I love to compare the story of Joseph being raised to the right hand of Pharaoh to the story of, do you know the story of, I think it's like Haman or Haman, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but in Esther, he's this guy who is at the right hand of, I think it's King Artaxerxes or Atrahasis, I can't remember which one it is, but one
I
of those.
I think it's the first one. I think so.
Artaxerxes.
King Xerxes. Yeah.
I think it might be. Anyways, it's one of those two, or I'm just completely wrong. Let me know in the comments. I don't know. But he uses it in the opposite way of Joseph. So he like uses it to his own glory, and everyone falls down and worships him except for one person. And he can't stand that. And it becomes the bane of his existence. And then he tries to commit genocide and through his power. And it's just like ends up being really terrible. And the consequences come back to him at the end of the book of Esther. But in contrast, we have Joseph, who's at the right hand of the person in power, and he's the difference is he's got the Spirit of the living God with him, and it ends up working out for the betterment of everyone around him. I think that's so cool.
That's sick.
It's better for everyone when one person walks with the Lord.
Do you know why that's so cool? Because you know how you spoke about Noah before? Think about it. God told Noah to build the ark, and then his whole family were able to get on.
Yes.
So because of Noah's obedience, his whole family got saved from the flood. That's so cool. God is faithful, hey? He's so cool. And because of Joseph, his whole family, which we'll see next week, get saved from the famine. Because Joseph's obedient. But I think it would be cool to just kind of touch on the famine a little bit before we close the episode. So the verses say from verses 54 to 57, it says, then the 7 years of famine began just as Joseph had predicted. The famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt there was plenty of food. Eventually, however, the famine spread throughout the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you. So with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. And people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe throughout the world. And I just think that's so cool. Pharaoh, what do we do? Pharaoh, you're our leader. Pharaoh, help us. Pharaoh says, go to Joseph and do whatever Joseph tells you. I think Pharaoh at this point was like, you know what? I trust Joseph. And I think he trusted Joseph because he knew who Joseph trusted. Joseph trusted God. And so Pharaoh was like, look, we're in good hands. You know, he's faithful. Like you said, because of one man, helped everybody, literally helped the entire, not just Egypt, but the surrounding countries as well. Not just Egypt was benefiting, everyone around Egypt was benefiting. But like, that's crazy. I think that's so cool. And so like, I think that's a good encouragement for us. Like, let us be people that are faithful, and let us be people that obey God and listen to him, because others around us can look to us for advice and know that they're in safe hands because we're relying on God. That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome sauce.
Thanks, Zach. Anything else you want to
I was thinking about, you know what I was honestly thinking about?
Honestly.
I feel like this could definitely get cut, but this is what I was honestly thinking about. I was thinking about how sometimes I feel like you look at either people in the Bible or people now who you can really tell the Spirit is with them. It's easy to compare yourself to them and think, why is that not me? Like, why is God not chosen me to do that? I think there's two things. One, like we talked about, the journey that Joseph goes on is not for everyone.
Yes.
Like, that is
difficult.
Tough.
A crazy journey. And the second thing is that when we actually do see that God rests on people, the purpose of that is to benefit everyone. God is going to work through them, hopefully, in an ideal scenario, to benefit loads of people. Sometimes we don't see that because of different, I think, human issues and sin.
Yeah.
But I think that's the purpose of what God does, is that we're not left out because we're not chosen to be in a prominent position of either authority or power, status, yeah, all those things. But actually, those people have their own journey, and we will most likely benefit from that. I don't know if that really has any resonance in it, but I was kind of thinking, like, it's you could say, like, I want to be in Joseph's shoes, but do you really?
Mm.
Like, I don't know if I really do. It would almost be easier to be one of the people who's living in Egypt, and you just get saved from the famine, and you get to keep living life, and it's great.
And yeah, I think that's what we can take away from Joseph's story, is that in those 13 years, there were so many opportunities for him to compare himself to so many different people, like the cupbearer, the baker, Potiphar, his wife, Pharaoh. Like, there were so many people in his story, but actually he really just decided to be faithful. And in interpreting the dreams, in just living out this crazy journey, he was obedient to God. He followed God. He trusted God. He stayed through the process and ended up in the palace at the end, and Pharaoh handing over responsibility to him. That's crazy. But I think for us, like, we need to focus on actually what is God doing in us on the journey. It's so easy for us to compare what, like, I can compare what God is doing in your life to what God's doing in mine. And I can be like, oh, I'm not doing what Zach's doing. Like, oh God, you're not using me the way you're using Zach. But then in a way, we kind of undermine what God's doing in us. And we can grow almost like insecure and discontent in where God is taking us. But actually, if we just focus in on the journey God has for us as individuals and what God's plan is for our lives, we can actually grow more content, and we'll be able to trust God more. And actually, we'll want to obey him more because we're so excited with where he's taking us. And we trust that what he has for us is good and that his plans are pleasing and perfect.
Wow.
That's some fire revo.
That's fire.
Fire revo.
I'm going to be thinking about that this week. What is God doing in my life that's irrespective of what he's doing on everyone else's?
That's so good. I'm going to be journaling about that and maybe just deeping my life a little bit.
Do it. Wait.
Yes, deep your life. Go into that 2 a.m. spiral. Maybe you guys listening are also deep in your life as well. Maybe you're thinking, oh, what is God doing in my life? Maybe you're genuinely asking that, like, oh, I've never thought about that before. What is God doing in my life? Maybe ask God those questions, like bring that to him in prayer and be like, hey God, I see the journey you took Joseph on. God, what journey do you have for me? And he'll answer. He'll be honest about that. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode. Thank you, Zach, for sitting in the pod and dropping the wisdom.
So fun, as always.
Zach said that wisdom is not wisdom, it's wisdom because it's the other way. Oh, so
it's not called wisdom because it doesn't come from the dome, it comes from the heart.
It's whiz heart, guys. Thank you for the that's crazy. That's so dumb. I don't know why.
Whiz heart,
that was so dumb. Wisdom.
All right, let's say bye. They don't need to hear this.
Yeah, this is a lot right now. But thank you guys so much for watching the video or listening. If you are listening via YouTube, definitely leave us a comment and let us know what you picked up from, I guess, the last chapters that we studied, because we'd want to know what you guys have to say. Sometimes we miss stuff, you know, and God could be speaking to you as well. So we'd love to hear what you took away from this episode. And we're so excited. The story of Joseph is not over. There's more chapters to come. There's more episodes to come. So make sure you stay locked in and keep following along on the journey, because we'd love to have you with us. So thank you guys for watching and listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.